Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Hey, I'm so glad you're here today. Today, I'm going to start by answering some of your questions that I got on Instagram, and then we're going to go through some things that I learned during this series, It's Time for Relationship. The series has been so fun and so full of wisdom, and it has truly met me where I am, and I've been so thankful for it. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. So I'm going to start by answering your questions. I'm not going to say who sent them in, just because I want to like protect some privacy. So here is the first question. How did your friendships change when you got married? So this is kind of tricky because remember, I got married when I was 18. So when I got married, that stage of life, I had just gone through a massive change already. All of my friends had just left for college, and I was too old to hang out with my younger friends and married, and I was too young to hang out with friends who were already in my stage of life who maybe had kids. So I think that getting married can and will change your relationships, but I think you get to determine how. Yes, your timing and your priorities are all going to change, but what can stay the same? Can you set up a monthly dinner with your friend? Can you set up coffee dates? And don't be afraid to invite your single friends in. That's one of the things that Kate Warman said best on the episode where we talked about dating and friendships. She said, bring them in. Our single friends need to see married friends, how they act, how they fight, how they transition. I really think that that's an important thing. Invite them in. Also, get clear on expectations. What do you expect from your friendship now? What do they expect from your friendship now? These conversations can and will be lifesavers in your relationships. I really, really believe it. Okay, next question is, what do I ask my introvert friends to get more conversation out of them than a yep or okay? This is such a good question, but so hard at the same time because I am not an introvert. So for me, it's like, well, you just talk to them, right? So I know that's not how it is, but you can't control their answers, but you can pick deeper or better questions. So maybe don't just start with like a, how are you? Because that's like a one word question, right? Or one word answer. So try something like, hey, how's your heart? If they say good, then say, well, what else? Like really kind of dig in because it's kind of like talking to our kids, right? We want to know what's going on, but we have to like ask leading questions. So I think it's the same with our friends. So how's your heart? During COVID, my friends and I would meet weekly on Zoom for coffee dates. And it was one of my very favorite things because we were able to connect. But one of the things we decided was we weren't going to just let it be fluffy time together. We needed to have like real honest conversation because it was a really hard time. So we would ask, how's your heart? And then we would say, what is something that has been working for you and your family lately? So ask your friends that. What's something that's been working lately? What's something you've been loving or doing or really enjoying? Ask them those questions. Another question we asked was, what's something that hasn't been working? And then how can we flip that narrative or problem that you've been facing? And I love to ask, how can I be praying for you? What's something new that you're learning? All of these questions really make for a solid conversation, but don't feel like you have to pepper them at them like, what are you doing? What's going on? What's happening? But like, what if you just texted them that? Hey, what's something that you're learning right now? What if you just dropped that question in a conversation? I think that your friend would be shocked like, oh, well, I don't know. But then you chime in. This is something I'm really, really bad at, if I'm being totally honest. I'm not great at chiming in when I ask my friends questions. But if we ask these questions, we have to share our stuff too. The reason I struggle with this is I want my people to feel loved, but I don't want to be burdening them with my stuff, which is not an equal friendship, right? So ask the questions, wait for the answers, and then speak up and share your stuff too. This is another really good question. How do you find new friends and let yourself trust them after you've been hurt? Man, again, this is such a good question. And I think you have to be really careful about not carrying our past baggage into our next relationships. I think if we would have focused on all of this, like, friendship stuff in high school instead of dating, we would be so much better off. I'm mostly kidding, but I'm pretty serious too. Could you imagine if we like focused on friendships in high school and not dating? Like, wow. So how can we move on in friendship without carrying our hurts in? This is hard. So for example, walking through a friendship breakup where I felt unseen, I'm not going to walk into my next friendship saying like, well, I'm just unseen and that's just how it's going to be. No, I want to go into this new relationship and feel safe. So I'm going to communicate that. And that might sound something like this. Hey, sometimes I really struggle with feeling unseen. If I get weird or distant, that might be what I'm dealing with. I just want you to know that sometimes that's how it shows up in me. So if we communicate our problems, like if we communicate where we've been hurt before without saying this person really hurt me, no, we can say like, hey, I actually struggle with this, so I need you to know. I have a friend who was just totally honest and said, hey, when your read receipts are on your phone, where that's so that's like where your friend sends a text and it says read at this time, you know, she said, when I see those and I don't get a response, it hurts my feelings so bad. So could you please turn off your read receipts on my texting thread? I just thought that was so freaking wise of her. She knows, hey, this actually really troubles me and it causes me to question our relationship. If I don't know when you saw that text, I'm just going to assume you haven't seen it yet and you'll get back to me when you can. But if I know that you've seen it and when you saw it, I feel ignored and I feel hurt. So I think communication is key with our relationships and our friendships and all of that. So I think we also need to acknowledge the parts and wounds of our last friendship. We need to pray that the Lord would reveal our mistakes and pray that He would give us new friends that we can walk healthily with. I know that sounds very Jesus-y and very churchy, but I really do believe it. We have to surrender our hurts to God. We can't carry them around and use them on people. We can't use them on people. So what I mean by that is we can't go into a new relationship assuming they're going to hurt us like the person did before. We have to trust people who are trustworthy, and we have to communicate and love them well. The next question is this. It is from one of my very favorite online friends. You know who you are. How do you reach out for friendship when you don't feel like you fit anywhere? Oh, friend, you fit. You are such a gift from the Lord. But I know and I totally understand how we can feel like this. I know I felt like that a ton when we first moved to Texas. Everyone had their friends and communities, and I just felt like, bleh, like I was there alone. And so I had to do something about it, right? We have to put action to our fears because once we shed light on that fear, it kind of goes away. So here's my best advice. Find something that you love and focus in on it, and then invite others to that. A book club, wine tasting, coffee date, a brewery, something like that. Something that you can invite people to where you fit, and then see what's coming up next. So have that coffee date, have that wine tasting event, go check out that brewery, and then say, hey, what do y'all have going on next week? What's going on? Don't be afraid to make yourself fit somewhere, because your people don't know unless they know that you don't feel like you fit in, right? So if you don't feel like you fit, make room. But I can tell you that you are a delight to me, and I'm so, so thankful for your friendship.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
I want to jump in really quick to tell you about an online parenting event that you or someone you know definitely won't want to miss. We're living in some strange and difficult days right now, wouldn't you say? And I think it's safe to say that all parents feel the pressure to lead their homes well, especially now. Wouldn't it be nice to feel the freedom to check that perfectionism at the door and become a perfectly imperfect parent that God called you to be? It's time to sign up today for the Perfectly Imperfect Christian Parenting Event that will be held on October 23rd through 24th. This is a completely digital event that was designed to give parents the practical and spiritual help needed to grow as leaders in the home, and it's in an easy, accessible digital form. With more than 40 available talks, you'll hear from amazing speakers like Aaron and Jamie Ivey, Mark Batterson, Jonathan Pitts, Nicole Zakowski, and the Duck Dynasty Robertson family, and so many more. Tickets are only $49, and we invite you or a parent that you love to register today for this digital Christian parenting event. Visit perfectlyimperfect.org to sign up today. Okay, let's get back to today's show. Okay, so now on to what I've learned during this series. I know I say it every time, but this series has really met me in the season I needed the most. I talked about it a little bit on my conversation with Adam Weber, where we talked about love having a name, and I felt like this was just like I was stuck in the winter, a cold, hard season of figuring some stuff out, and then trying to figure out who I was. I felt like my identity has been marked by so many things lately, and I was feeling lost and trying to sort it all out. What was true? What was false? Have you ever felt like that? Like you get the rug pulled out from under you and you're just kind of confused. Like, how did this happen? Where am I and who am I? That's how I felt during this season. I don't think I'm fully all the way through it. I do know that I'm cleaning up the mess. And so here's what I've learned so far. While I love the relationship titles I am marked by, they do not make me who I am. My marriage, which by the way, Jesse and I are celebrating 16 years of marriage this week. Can you believe that? It makes me laugh. Well, it's just such a long time. My marriage and being Jesse's wife is a marker of who I am, but not who I am. I am his helper and his friend, and I love him to death, but it's more than that. Being a mom to my 3 amazing kids is one of my favorite roles, but again, it's not who I am. Being a daughter and a sister, again, not who I am. Being a best friend and a friend online, while I love you guys, does not make up who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm a child who delights her father. I'm Jeanette. It makes me think of Moana. Big surprise, I know. But like, she's there singing about all the things that make her who she is. You know, I'm a girl who loves my island. I'm a girl who loves the sea. Like, these things pull at her and they tug her and she feels stuck. She knows her purpose, and she wants something beyond that. That's how I felt. Who God says I am has been calling to me. He says I am loved, treasured, enough, and he guides me. This series has been all about relationships, but it has driven me back to the relationship that I value the most, my relationship with Christ. It sounds super cheesy and maybe a little bit churchy, but let me tell you, without this anchor of my faith, all of my relationships will flounder. Or I'll put too much stock in just one and forget who I am in all my other ones. Basically, what I'm trying to say is Jesus first and everyone else follows. And that is not how I was living or behaving. I wasn't believing who God was saying about me. I was putting my worth in what others said about me, what I could do, the good and the bad. And I felt like I lost me. And that was really hard. So in rebuilding this relationship with the Lord, I've seen it all so much better. I am me. I'm exactly who God made me to be. And you are you, exactly who God created you to be. We are wholly loved, earnestly sought after. And when we believe and walk in that, our other relationships will flourish. Why? Because if we believe those things about ourselves, then we have to believe it about others. You are not God's only child. Even that girl you don't really care for, well, guess what? She's wholly loved and fully sought after, just like you. So now I would love to read you some verses I have been loving and meditating on. And by meditating, I just mean reading over and over and trying to memorize. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "You are his workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared for you ahead of time." Psalm 41:11 says, "By this I know you delight in me. My enemy does not shout in triumph over me." I have to remember time and time again that I was created for his work. He made me just like he wants me, and he has work for me to do. That work is loving my husband, my family, being a good friend, and stewarding my time well, chasing down those dreams that he gave me. These are all good things, but they are not who I am. I am his child. In all of this, he delights in me, and that's a truth I've been holding on to a lot lately. While others might not find delight in me, my God delights in me. My Heavenly Father delights in me. And friend, he delights in you. You bring him great joy. And lastly, this verse. Philippians 4:8. Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. I just want you to know that that's hard. It's hard to focus in on honorable and true and just and pure and lovely and excellent and praiseworthy. It's really, really hard to dwell on that, especially in the climate of life that we're in right now, especially when we don't know who we are or who we belong to. But let me tell you what is true. Your God delights in you. He made you. He created you for something amazing. And not only for something amazing, but he created you because he likes you. He made you just the way you are, no mistake. Make no mistake, you fit. Make no mistake, that girl doesn't get to say who you are. Make no mistake, you are his child. So before I get super, super preachy and start sobbing, I just want to ask you, what is it time for? What is it time for in your life? For me, man, I feel like winter's coming to an end. In Alaska, winter ends with like this like super, super gross, everything's soggy and wet and dirty. And that's kind of what I feel like I'm coming out of. I feel like it was a really good winter. I learned a lot, but I'm kind of walking into this mess. But spring is here and it's coming, and with spring holds new life. And let me tell you a secret. This new life might be a book. I haven't really said it out loud, but through this season, God has really, really been breaking me down and showing me the next book. Writing hurts. Writing hurts a lot. As you know, I've called it in podcast episodes, keyboard counseling. And it's like you and God and just like really, really pouring out the hard stuff. As I was dealing with some stuff with the Lord last month, I just felt him say like, okay, get ready to write it. And I was like, no, it's time for Jesus. Cost me so much. It hurt in a way that will mark me forever. And it wasn't bad. Everything that I walked through with this time for Jesus wasn't bad. It was really good, and it shaped me into who I am, and it has taught me so much about the Lord. I just didn't know I was gonna get to write another book again so soon. And so here I am telling you, I think that there's another book in the works. And here's something else I need to do, because if it hurts me so bad to say it out loud like this, I need you to pray for me. There's a day and it's time for Jesus where I announce to the world, I hate asking for prayer because it's vulnerable, because I don't want to be a burden, because it's hard to say, hey, I need something from you. But here we are, friends, and I'm going to ask you to pray for me. Would you pray for this next book? I've got a real good leading on what it's going to be about. And I've got some really exciting things in the work, but I need you to know it's going to be hard and it's going to wreck me. But I know, back to that verse, I know that I was created for his good work. He created me to be me. He created me to share these stories with you. So would you pray for me? If you've been here for a while, you know I have a tendency towards drama, but in all reality, right now, I just want to tell you, like, friend to friend, like, I need your prayers. This season has been really, really hard, but it's been really, really good, and God is so faithful. So, if you'll pray for me, I'll pray for you. My hope is that you will focus in on your relationship with Christ more than anything right now, because when we do that, our other relationships will flourish. It's so beautiful. It's such a gift. Thanks for hanging out with me today. I hope I didn't bum you out. I'll see you next week for coffee. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.